I suck at jujitsu. How do I suck less?
I guess
you
suck less.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the pyrotechnical leader of the
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to possibly the most valuable episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show that I have ever just freaking given away for free. So today, we are going to look at, we're actually doing something out of a secret notebook. I can't tell you guys much more than that, but lately, I've actually been just breaking out the idea book and doing some episodes directly out of that. And so you may notice that my outlining of the episode's a little odd, but I don't know. I just think it's been helpful. And so I am going to give you guys a peek into, in my notes, it's written as the perfect six-week training camp. And it is this concept of how to prepare for a jiu-jitsu tournament. And I called it the six-week camp because when I first was really doing it and trying to get this rhythm going, I would usually aim for about 6 weeks out to start this camp. And my training doesn't always look like this. This is just what my training looked like when I'm in camp. And so I really think that this is going to be helpful for people because I think that you could take a brand new person who's never competed in jiu-jitsu before, and they could follow this six-week camp of training and how they're going to train and how they're going to build the routine that they need to go out and compete. And I think that this is going to have enough information. This episode as a whole is going to have enough information for you to prepare for that, because the concept of getting ready for a jiu-jitsu tournament is, and I didn't realize this until maybe even a year ago or less, but it is a lot simpler than I ever realized. And we're just going to kind of dig in and look at it like this. We're going to talk like you just said, hey, coach, I am competing in 6 weeks. It's going to be my first tournament. What should I do? And so my first question for you would for sure be, hey, bro, are you in shape right now? Are you, you have not even trained at all in the last 6 months, right? If that's the case, unless you've been a competitor before, if it's your first competition, I would say 6 weeks is just a little too close, okay? But if you have just been consistently being on the mats, and we always talk about that idea of consistency in jiu-jitsu as a skill, right? If you are exercising that skill, if you are practicing that skill of consistency in jiu-jitsu, then you can probably compete in 6 weeks and be in very good shape for it and really set yourself up to do well and to perform well. And so if you are, how I look at it is, if you're like half in shape, if you're 50% of the way there, that's good enough to do a six-week camp to get ready. A lot of times, you're giving yourself way more credit of what in shape you actually is. And there's not a huge difference. And so it's usually not too bad. Of course, again, this is like a method. You could stretch this out to 8 weeks, 12 weeks. You could stretch this out. I kept this method, this weekly routine that we're going to go over. I kept it last year in 2023. For 14 weeks where I can, no, 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 12 weeks where I competed for, I competed 8 different times in 12 weeks. And then I had a 6 week camp lead up in that space. And then probably a 6 week, almost half in, half out camp. So I would say total, I did this for almost 30 weeks last year and was able to compete a lot in a small period of time. We really think about 8 different competitions in 12 weeks. That is an insane amount, and I got very good results in a lot of those. And so not all of them, but I would say most would be the word. And so I would say that, like, when it comes to the competition. You decide on whatever competition you're going to do, and you have your goal set. It's probably a good idea. And I've kind of like deterred you a little bit in the beginning of this of like, hey, don't compete if you're not in great shape. I will tell you, I have had people compete very early in jiu-jitsu. One time I had this dude compete, and this wasn't, he came in, he did a free trial. I don't even know if he was signed up at the gym yet, and people were competing, and he was like, oh, you can sign up for this? Okay, yeah, I'm part of Head Nod. And so I didn't even know this dude's competing. He ends up going out there. He signs up for every division, and he was tough, man. You know, as a, in the beginner division, with 2 days of training, with two classes, he was pretty darn tough, and he actually won 2 of his 8 matches, but they were both by DQ. They were both by people doing illegal submissions on him. But yeah, so I don't want to tell you. I also had somebody else that had just started training, and a big group of us, including her husband, was going to compete. I want to say something like a week later, and she had done like 1 or 2 classes. And her husband was like, hey, you should just compete with us. We were going to like a big IBJJF tournament, and she went and competed, you know, had a fun time. It was wild, but had a fun time. And yes, I don't want to tell you like, don't compete if you're not ready. Most people will talk themselves out of competing by saying they are not ready. But the thing is, that's why we have all these different age groups, and that's why we have all these different experience levels at competitions, is because you probably can go in a division that you are ready for, that you are able to compete in and not get hurt and have a really good time in. And so, yeah, I don't want to tell you guys, don't compete. I would say I couldn't tell you the last time a student has asked me if they should compete and I said no. It's almost always a yes, unless it's a health thing. That's the only time that I think, unless it's like a health concern of, dude, your knee just got healthy and you're back to training. What if it's too risky and you do hurt your knee again, right? Something like that, I will kind of be the other voice and be like, nah, I don't think you should compete. But most of the time, the answer is yes, you should compete. You're in good enough shape. We have 6 weeks. Let's go get after it. And so now let's start with our kind of idea, and that is this 6-week camp. And you guys know I'm always the end goal, the biggest idea is what I care about the most. And to me, when it comes to jiu-jitsu training camps, so many people put more value in the camp itself than the performance at the end of the camp, or in the diet than in the performance at the end of the camp, okay? So when we're signing up for a jiu-jitsu tournament, of course, we have these goals of, I want to do it so it motivates me to lose weight. I want to do it to test myself. I want to do it for all these other reasons. And it's always important to have a secondary reason like that that isn't victory, right? You don't want to put all of your eggs in the performance, I want to win basket, because you'll end up disappointed and a lot of times you'll end up quitting. So what you do is you focus on like, hey, I want to lose weight for this tournament. So then once I do the tournament, whether I win or lose, who cares? But don't forget, the goal is to win. If you are inviting your family there, maybe it's just me and me inviting my Asian family members that aren't going to sugarcoat it for you and are like, hey, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, but the fact that you voluntarily sat on your butt to start things off was weird. It didn't make any sense. And it makes sense that you lost because you did that. And so, you got to have family there that'll roast you, that will let you know. I don't even know where I was going with that, with the family roasting me. Oh, yeah. It's just any time you get out of that idea of focusing on things that aren't your performance when you're going to compete. Your job as a jiu-jitsu athlete is to perform your best that day. And that's it. It's not to win. It's just to try your best, right? And that sounds silly, but you don't have control sometimes. There have been guys, I've told you guys this, I have had great mindsets on days, and there have been guys that were just significantly better than me, and it just didn't even matter. It wasn't even close, right? And that is going to happen for you, right? So all you focus on is your performance. And so how that looks, instead of it being about your diet, or instead of it being about, I need to train hard 6 days a week. And then like you are so beat down by the time you actually go to the competition that you don't perform well, that means you valued your training more than you valued the actual competition. You were training for a competition, but you did it so much that it took away from the competition for you. How I look at this is, if you have 6 weeks to compete, this means that you have five chances to compete before week six, okay? And that does not mean sign up for five competitions. That means you are going to designate one day a week. And I tell you guys about this all the time, the idea of the performance day. When you take one day with a goal per week of, I am going to perform. And why one day per week? Because how often in jiu-jitsu do you compete more than one day per week? Very, very, very few of us ever do. And so if that is the case, then that's what you need to prepare yourself for. That is what performance is. Sometimes, and during my training, my camp that I told you guys about, where I did like 24-ish weeks, something like that, while I'm doing this and I'm doing my one performance day, and that was always what I was doing, unless I was absolutely so injured. But even then, I would still show up to that performance day and do what I could performance-wise and just try to get some reps of winning, even if they weren't pretty or perfect or anything. But what your performance day is a day where you just go to try to win. And this doesn't mean you go 100% physically, like you're trying to hurt people or you're spazzing. You still want to feel jiu-jitsu. But for me, it's like, a lot of rounds I will let somebody get certain grips on me because I want to work that those grips and beating the grips that they have and kind of letting them get ahead. But on competition day, it is not like that. I don't want you to have those grips. Even if you do, I'm going to respond how I normally would, but I want to be as annoying and as hard to even get those grips because I'm trying to win every second of performance day. Just because when I go compete, that's my goal, is I want to win every second of these 5 minutes. If I don't submit you or these 10 minutes or whatever the time limit is, if I don't submit you in that time, I want to have known, like, yeah, there was no one could question this because there wasn't a time that he was winning. There was not a second that he was doing good jiu-jitsu. My jiu-jitsu took over. That's my goal on the winning day, on the performance day. Just win. Sometimes that means we control the clock and we score on the guy, right? And that's, I know people are like, oh, you're not supposed to do that in jiu-jitsu. You're always supposed to go for submission. It's like, yeah, but people do that in competition. And if we lie to ourselves and go, oh, no, it's all about that, they'll get a stalling call. Like, no, you can hide it really easy that you're not engaging somebody's guard, right? And you're just hiding behind their knees and you're hiding behind their knees to defend. It's very easy to do that. And so, if that's the case, we've got to have an answer for that. One of the best ways to have an answer for that is to have dealt with it already on our performance days, right? It's terrible to go to a tournament and the first time that you deal with something is at the tournament, deal with a different style of guard passing or deal with a different style of guard. It sucks when that happens. And one of the best ways to prepare yourself for that is to put yourself in that situation of a performance day where you feel like this is a real competition. I have to compete today. And as you're going into this competition and you are, or your this performance day, this pretend competition, you can prep it exactly like you would want to. You can warm up. You can, for me, I'll dig in. I'll give you guys a little blurb on Wim Hof breathing. I did I was on an episode of BJJ Mental Models and I talked about it, and people that listened to my show were messaging me and like, hey, you never tell us that on the show. And so, I'll even give you guys that thought. Let me get back to my notes. So as we look at our five competition days now, because we have a 6-week camp. So for me, it would be 5 Fridays in a row, I'm going to have my performance day. And then on my sixth day, I am, or on that 6 week, I'm going to, that sixth Saturday, I'm going to go compete. And so each week I can focus like, all right, I know with this tournament, my big weakness is going to be stand up. And so I focus up until Friday on grip fighting from the feet. And I just focus on controlling guys and feeling comfortable on the feet and just getting reps, or even if I'm going to pull guard, getting reps with my guard pull. But I don't have to be going crazy on it. When I'm rolling live at the gym, I don't have to be rolling to the death. I'm cool giving up a sweep. I'm cool giving up a submission. Who cares? This is not my performance day. This is my get better day. And that's a different thing. Okay. And so I get all those reps. And then on my first Friday, it's time to see if I can wrestle. It's time to see how my stand-up is. And whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. I stay in the moment just like I would in a competition. Sometimes you lose first round at a competition, and for whatever reason, the way things work out, you get to fight and compete back. One time, I got choked unconscious second round of a competition, and it was a double elimination style, as in everybody had to lose twice, and ended up fighting like 4 or 5 more times in the division because everybody was had that second life. So there's a ton of matches. And I ended up avenging the loss of getting choked unconscious and then getting submitted in the finals and losing and getting second. But either way, it was one of those things you had to stay in the moment for. And it's so easy to have a little thing, even in a match, not go your way. Like a guy scored 2 points that he shouldn't have, and it just totally shake everything. And the more that you get in the rhythm of going to perform, for me, going to perform on Friday when maybe I'm just a little more tired than normal and my jiu-jitsu just isn't firing like it should be, and I have to deal with that. And I have to look at, well, what can I do to win right now? Because it's not always about hitting the best jiu-jitsu move and the coolest thing. Sometimes it's just about keeping you from doing something, right? Or getting you to open up more than you should have so I can counter. And so, yeah, just that is really for me, like, I think the importance of this whole idea of how I was able to compete. And okay, so for more context too, on this whole 24-week cycle, I broke my ankle in a match, and it also got rebroke later on. And so I wasn't doing great. You know what I mean? Like, things weren't great a lot of the time. But because I had learned how to perform in jiu-jitsu, because I gave myself reps, and what performance in jiu-jitsu looks like is not how you think of it. Maybe you're super good at it, but just how most people think of it. Most people think it's going to be like you are going to just flip this switch and you are going to be able to go, and you're like, okay, mindset one is off. Now it's mindset two, and you're just going to go and thrash everybody now, and you just don't care. And I think once you get to a really high level of that, it does kind of look like that. But that switch is so hard to learn to flip. It's so hard to learn to control and command the mindset of performance. And I say performance, we're saying in jiu-jitsu, it's anything. If you do professional speaking, you know what I'm talking about. It is so hard to go out and be as confident every time as it is that one time, right? And if you teach jiu-jitsu seminars, if you teach a class, it's the same way. But if you do it a lot, if you have 270 episodes of a podcast, it's way easier to grab your notebook and go, okay, I think I'm just going to talk about this stuff today. And, you know, maybe this episode does suck, so I don't want to go too deep into that. But at least feel confident enough to go through an entire episode and to put together something for an hour and feel comfortable doing that. That comes simply because I've taken the reps to do it. The first episode that I did was like 15 minutes long, and it was an idea that I had literally written an entire book on, And I felt so not confident doing it. I want to say I re-recorded it like 6 or 7 times to get that 15-minute episode. And it's like the content's good, but the delivery still isn't as good as if I did a 15-minute episode now with no preparation at all. And it's simply that those repetitions. And again, our job, our important goal is the competition. It is not the training before the competition. The training before the competition's job is to help us at the competition. It is not to break our bodies down. It is not to, a lot of people feel like the mental toughness that it takes to force yourself to do 7 days a week of training for 5 or 6 weeks before your competition. That is the same mental toughness as you have 5 minutes, you have 2 minutes left and you need to score 2 points. And it is not. They are two totally different things. Being able to force yourself to show up and being able to perform in the moment when you only have 2 minutes left are two different things. And so you have to focus on competition for competition's sake. And so and that just like, for me, when I started to recognize this, and a lot of these ideas I got from all the interviews that we've done on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show where I've broken down with competitors, what's your week look like, what's your week look like. But Mark Vives was like the, to me, the shared some of the best bits of advice for how your week should look, because he literally was competing every week. And that was what I was trying to get to. And it started to make so much sense to me, this concept, when I asked him, how do you compete every weekend? And he said, it's simple. You just compete every weekend. And he's like, I don't understand. He's like, well, if that's your goal, if your goal is to compete every Saturday, he's like, even when you're at home, he's like, even when I'm in Chicago, I still do a competition, but it's at my gym. And I keep my same routine because I want to be a competitor and I want to be able to do it no matter what, no matter what the situation is, and do it every week. And of course, with injuries and stuff, you can take time off and you can be smart. You don't have to force yourself. But like doing this for 6 weeks will give you a great lead up for a tournament. And then if you are somebody that does have a season where you're going to do quite a few tournaments in a row, doing this 4 to 6 weeks out to start and then just staying in this routine the whole time, by the end of that competition cycle, you will be writing a 5-star review for the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. I am not joking. It makes such a difference performing once a week and making yourself do it and just learning what that mindset looks like. And I think that's kind of where people go wrong, is they don't think that it is, I don't know, they try to take TV shows and movies and apply them to what performing on the mat looks like. And it just doesn't look like what you think. A lot of times so many people are like visualizing the moment in the match that everything comes down to them and, you know, they're down 2 points and they need to score and all their fingers and both of their shins are broken and they're, you know, they're dying on the mat, but they still are able to pull out the scissor choke with their legs, right? And when you see that, like, yeah, that does happen in matches. I've had matches where I have one at the very end with things. A perfect example, in the finals of Nashville Open, I was down, or no, score was tied, and there was like 30 seconds left, and I hit a triangle on the guy, and I switched it to an armbar at the very end. I got 2 advantages for it, and that's how the match ended, was like in that armbar. And it was, what was interesting was I had not been playing bottom in the gym at all. Like for, it had at least been 3 months, but it was probably even longer. I had only been focused on wrestling and guard passing, was not playing bottom at all. But I was in that position and my mindset was, I saw a triangle earlier and I missed it. And I didn't even miss it. It just really wasn't there. It was close. And I remember saying to myself, like, that triangle is going to be there again. And eventually it was, and I hit it. And decompressing, because it was a big win, and decompressing, like, whatever, days later, it was like, man, where did that thought come from? Where did that self-belief thought come from? Because I had never been in that situation with a guy of that level where I was tied and I have this shot to win. Why did, you know, like, how did that positive, and it really was, it was just positive. It was just like, no, I'm sure of it. I'm going to see that again. And when I do, I'm selling out for it. And it was like, it happened. And there are, of course, going to be times where you have a positive mindset and nothing goes well. But to me, when I decompressed from that, I went, you know what? There were these times where I was training. And I mean, I'm training with guys that are like only blue belts, but are super physically gifted. Guys have wrestled their whole lives. And I am scorched in the training room on my performance day. And my goal is to win the round, and I find a way. And a lot of times, and when I think back to those rounds, the mindset that you just to win those rounds eventually is, oh, I saw something, or, oh, I'm going to find something. I'll just stay here. And it's this little patient mindset. But I developed that not on competition mats. And I applied it to the competition mat. And I think that I always tell you guys, the best way to get good at competing is you just compete as much as you can. Just spend a ton of money, sign up for everything, compete as much as you can. But for those of us who just can't afford to do that, then the best way is to compete once a week in the gym. And it sounds foreign, but if you can get a group of guys, even four people together, are like, hey, that's what we're going to do. And that's three rounds for you, which is going to be most tournaments anyway. If you have four people your size and you do this once a week, that group will build up. People will be interested in, wait, we're training and we're all agreeing that the goal is to win. Because it's always like, oh, no, the goal is not to win. It's always to learn. And it doesn't happen that way in the gym. But what's interesting is if you separate this to one day, it's like the idea of The Purge, the movie where it's like all crime is legal for a day. It's like, well, if we agree that our only job today is to win, then all the other days we can work together to be like, hey, let's get really good for that Friday. Let's get even better for next Friday. Let's get even better for next Friday, right? And it just, to me, it creates this loop that is very, very easy to follow. And again, though, it's going to be a routine. That first week is going to be rough. And so let's talk about what the else you're going to be doing during this week. I've literally just been selling you guys on the importance of the performance day. But again, that's what's relevant. Everything else that I'm telling you after this, and there's good tips, they're all secondary. They're all on page two. I'm switching pages here. Okay. And so generally, weightlift is 1 to 2 days after performance day. I generally lift once a week. Other people do different stuff for weightlifting. Do what you want to do. This is you guys know I follow the dog pound method of strength. Steve McKinney's, 15 minutes. Something. It's Steve McKinney's strength and conditioning book. I should have it written down because this is in my notes. I lift once a week, and it's usually I'll compete on like a Saturday, and I lift on a Monday. And so that is how I kind of space it out. And the reason is because if I was going to compete the next Saturday, I wouldn't want to skip lifting, especially if I was going to compete the Saturday after and the Saturday after. I would want to continue to lift. And so how you continue to do that is by spacing your lift from giving your lift a lot of space from your performance day, and or your biggest lift, even if you do other stuff, but just your hardest day. And this is an NFL thing that my boy Mark Vives stole from the NFL, and so and then applied to jiu-jitsu again, because that is a one-day sport, right? You perform one day a week. It is not baseball where you perform once a day. You know, it is a different thing. And so, and it's just that one and done mentality of the playoffs in football is so much like jiu-jitsu's one and done mentality. And so it's going to be you just get a lot of good info. And so another thing, again, man, everything that I have is from freaking from Mark Viva. So first of all, you begin with a goal each night that you're going to train, because it's not like you're just going to train one day a week, right? Most of us get 3 to 4 days a week. And for me, 3 to 4 days a week is what I was doing during my long stretch where I was following this protocol. And it was, I would say probably even three was most of the time. I would do either 2 regular days in a performance day or 3 regular days in a performance day. And it was more than enough training for me. But some other things that really helped that is like maybe on, I'll give you my actual schedule now that I've given you the concept of it. It would usually be hard training session on Friday if there wasn't a real competition on Saturday, but hard training session on Friday or Saturday, and then the lift a couple days after. Usually that would be my Monday. And then if I usually take Tuesday totally off because I had been training hard and or competing. And if I wanted a little extra time off, I wouldn't train Monday night. If I felt good enough to train Monday night, I would come in and I would only work defense, because defense is really easy to control the pace. It's hard to control the pace if you're focused on hitting guard passes or you're focused on hitting triangles, right? Because you're throwing up a lot of offense. But if you are focused on just controlling the pace of the guy you're going with and controlling your own pace, you can get really good training in, really good deeper bad position escapes and work. And again, when you come in with a different mentality, it keeps you from fighting like a crazy person too. It lets you not have an ego in that training, because you know that training is exactly that. It is training. Its job is to get you better at jiu-jitsu. And so having defense and offense nights separately, I think, is just so important for if you were in this cycle. And so then your offense nights are obviously what you are trying to get some work on. A lot of times, if you're competing a lot or if you're doing this performance day a lot, you're seeing that you're losing your rounds to specific things, like the same things over and over. You don't see it as much when you're just going into jiu-jitsu and training randomly, but when the focus is winning, you really do notice what keeps you from winning. And that is your offense day should be like, okay, well, I'm not finishing this single leg. And so maybe you positional spar single leg and you ask people if you can start in the single leg and you just get more reps and more reps of finishing. You ask questions about it. You drill it. You just try to start from the feet, get as many reps of getting in there or in picking it up and finishing it as you can. So just like having those days separate, but each day is a focus. And sometimes the focus is like, I am literally gassing myself out because I'm holding my breath. And so I'm going to spend all night tonight making sure I'm breathing while I'm training. Like, I'm not doing anything else. Everything else is secondary. I'm mindless in my training. I'm trying to win, of course, but it's just mindless. It's like, I'm going to breathe. I'm going to breathe in and out. Oh man, I need to breathe faster here. I need to push out more air here, right? And you'll just that, right? But always having a focus during this time, it will keep you from just going in and rolling too hard. And I think that's really important, is putting yourself on a pitch count, or like just a snap count. How many live reps are you actually letting yourself do? It's just so easy when we're training hard for a tournament to overdo it and then not be able to perform well on the day. And what not performing well on the day usually looks like is, and this is like, again, man, everything I know about everything that I've written down, I think I must have stolen from Mark Vives. But I remember asking him about how do I know if I am overtrained? And he goes, I always look at it as if the things that you can usually do easily are very hard, he goes, you're overtrained. And I thought that that was the simplest explanation, because I've known I've been overtrained at different times, and that is a really simple way. Like, my guard passing literally isn't working. It's not that, like, everybody all at once just adjusted to what always works. You know, like, I usually pass all these guys, and I can't pass anybody. Or I'm just feeling behind. A lot of times that is that you are overtrained, right? And if you're overtrained, that doesn't mean you couldn't compete and you couldn't go win, but you're not going to perform at your best. And to give yourself the best chance of winning, you want to be rested enough to go perform. And so it is okay during the performance days to go in not as rested as you would for an actual competition. But besides that, you should go in with your actual mentality of how you're going to compete. For me, when I'm on my way, I listen to the music that I listen to before I compete. And then I do my normal breath work, which I've never said this on the podcast, but my normal breath work before competition, I said this on a different podcast. I got a bunch of messages about it. That's what I got most of the messages about on BJJ Mental Models was, hey, what was that video you were talking about? And how do you do it? So there is a YouTube video. It's guided Wim Hof breathing. And I do, and you can look at all the research. I'm not going to try to sell you guys on Wim Hof breathing, but maybe I will for a second. Breath work for jiu-jitsu competition is, I've said this on many podcasts of my own, on other people's, if you said you could warm up or you could do your breath work before this competition, which one do you choose? I would choose breath work every single time, and it wouldn't be close. Wouldn't matter who I would have in the first round, I would choose breath work every time. It allows you to deal with competition anxiety just in a different way. And so I really try to make sure I'm doing that when I'm doing my performance training. And how I do it is 2 hours out. I do ideally 2 hours out, sometimes 90 minutes. If it's closer, it's closer. Who cares? I wouldn't do it 5 minutes out, but anything 30 minutes before 30 minutes, after 30 minutes would be fine, right? 30 minutes or more. Ideally 2 hours out. And I do the first set of breaths and breath holds sitting up. And I usually have some music playing. I try to not do too upbeat for the breath work, just because I don't know, it feels like it messes up my rhythm of breathing. One sitting up, leaning against the wall, and then the last laying down. The reason laying down is because you can bring in, it's something like 30% more oxygen or something like that, or air into your lungs when you do that, when you're laying versus, and you're just totally relaxed versus sitting up. And so you really, that last set usually sets me straight, gives me the body tingles. If you've done Wim Hof breathing before, you know what I'm talking about. But if you do it too much, you can, and there is an episode where Miles Lucas and I talk about this competition, where I was kind of saying that I almost underthought the competition. I had an injury. It was really weird. I had an injury and I didn't hide the injury in the match. And it was like I'd been hiding it and I just like stopped. And it was, and I couldn't explain it. And I told him I had done breath work the night before and I felt great. And he asked about it, and I was like, yeah, I got to the point. I did 3 rounds. I might have even done 5 rounds that time. I don't know, because we were still experimenting. But I got to the point of, like, seeing colors on my breath work, which, again, if you do this, you know what I'm talking about. Not a super weird thing. Pretty normal that that can happen. But he's like, oh, you got too high on your own supply, bro. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. He's like, you think about it. If it's disassociation, you can over disassociate. You can over, like, and that's what you're trying to do, is you're afraid of this life or death situation when you go to compete. So you do breath work and you force hyperventilate, and it allows you to go, oh, I'm not I'm not as worried about this tournament anymore, right? This is, I almost just died suffocating myself with this breath work. At least my body thinks that, right? And, you know, it just changes your mindset. And you can also, how I look at it is you build this mindset of a competitor in your training sessions. And it doesn't have to be an angry competitor. If you watch the best guys, they're all themselves. You know, the happy guys are happy on the mat. You know, the angry guys are angry on the mat. And, you know, you learn to be yourself on the mat. You learn to translate that when the time comes. And this is kind of how I look at, I guess I have a few other little notes. So throughout, I think that that's kind of all I'll say about just your weekly training is you're doing offense, you're doing defense. Obviously, it's built around your training schedule, but for me, it was 3 days. I practiced my breath work on my performance day. Throughout the week, when you're getting ready to compete, especially, you should probably always do this, but especially when you are getting ready to compete, getting reps of positive self-talk and positive self-image. And it doesn't have to be verbal. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you have to say stuff out loud, like their mantras and stuff. I never do, but I have things that I think to myself repetitively, and they help me, again, command a specific mindset and a specific performance-based mindset. And Jared has been on the show before, and he also was at a seminar once, and someone had asked him about how do you perform better? How do you perform better? And he was like, you know, I think so much of it has to do with how you see yourself. And he said, so often you just tell yourself you're not good enough, and you know by the time you go out and compete, you're not good enough. And he goes, and you just, if you change that and you tell yourself, like, I'm gonna go win, and you just keep telling yourself every time. And he goes, and when the little thought of, you know, he's like, it's just reps of it. When the little thought of, oh, you're not gonna win, like, oh, no, no, oh, sorry, that was the end of my rep, but positive, I'm gonna reset. I am gonna win. I can do this. I know I can do this. And again, that small voice that goes into your head, what'll happen is it'll always say true stuff, you know? Hey, remember every other thing you've ever performed at, you know? And remember in the, you know, the 12th grade when you sang your solo and then Derek and all his football buddies replaced the choir and then started singing. Actually, no, let's not go into that. That was a – did you guys get that reference? I had a reference nobody caught last week, I feel like. But you, that one's an easy one, right? I think that's an easy one. But just getting those positive reps of self-talk, because those negative thoughts a lot of times are true. When I go to compete as somebody who has competed for a very long time, I have a lot of negative things I can focus on. You've never beat a guy of this caliber. You've never won a tournament of this level. You've always lost in the blank round of this type, this tournament. You've never been able to win in this rule set. And you create these things, and as you tell them to yourself, they become true. I could easily talk myself out of being good in jiu-jitsu. It really is a matter of reps. How many reps do you give yourself of this negative self-talk? How many reps do you tell yourself you can't? How many reps do you tell yourself you can? How many reps do you tell yourself, I don't care, I'm going to? You know, I've told you guys this, even when I'm warming up in a jiu-jitsu tournament, and I've done my breath work, I've done all the stuff I'm supposed to, and I'm getting my warm-up going, and I will feel the fatigue, and I'll feel my mind be like, you're not good enough, you're gonna blow this, you're tired, you're weak, you didn't perform, you didn't train enough, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. And all those things could, you know, those are shallow explanations, but they're always deep thoughts. It's always like, oh, last time you were training 5 days a week, this time you're only training three. You know, that's not enough. You used to be in better shape than this, didn't you? Right? And so you couldn't, and it's always these thoughts. Those thoughts don't matter. Literally do not think of them. When they come into your head, replace them with, when the moment comes, I'm going to perform. Replace them with, I know jiu-jitsu. I train jiu-jitsu all the time. I am good at jiu-jitsu, and I am going to go do jiu-jitsu. And you just replace that in your mind. It makes such a difference. But again, you replace it in your mind during your whole camp. Ideally, you replace it in your mind forever, but you replace it in your mind for a good period of time. And also, random note, this is just something that's underlined in my notes because it's important for me, but it's consistent injury prevention. And so if you are somebody, this training is hard. If you're doing a day where you actually perform at 100%, your body's going to be beat up. That's why when you go to compete, your body is so beat up. And one of the worst things you can do is if you have some pre-existing injury, your torn meniscus, your partially torn rotator cuff, your torn labrum, your pulled C6, C7, C8, C9, herniated, L47, you know what I'm saying. You're injured, you're beat up, you're old. I'm old, I'm beat up, I get it. But the doctor probably gave you some at-home exercises to do for all of those injuries. We both know that you are not doing them and I'm not doing them. But when it's competition season, you better freaking be doing them, because if there is weakness, your pain will find it. Your body is going to be beat up. And so being ahead of that, it makes such a difference in your training camp. It sucks in your training camp when your rotator cuff flares up at week 5 and you're like, man, if I had been doing those exercises for the last 5 weeks, probably wouldn't have flared up. Also, I have, again, this is a personal note, but only cut weight when it makes sense. And so for some people, it makes sense. In your first tournament, most of the time, to me, it doesn't. A lot of times it takes your focus off jiu-jitsu, and that's what we talked about in the beginning, is your focus is on performance. It shouldn't just be on diet, right? And so, but, you know, over a period of time, I look at it more of like the diet, you do less in the training camp, ideally, and more out of the training camp, but sometimes it just be like that, you know? And you're doing the diet an hour before you have to weigh in the tournament, you know? I get that too. But yeah, only cut weight when it makes sense. That whole stint that I talked about this whole time, I competed at a lower weight class than I had in years. And it was because it made sense to perform better, because the goal was performance. And it was like, I know I'm not going to feel as good. I know I'm going to be miserable. I know I'm going to be cutting water weight in the morning before I compete. And it's probably not the best thing to do. But you know, and this is, again, this is adult black belt. This is, you got to, right? But it was just like, I don't care. It's a little bit of an advantage and it's worth it for me. I want to, do whatever I can. And so, yeah, that's kind of my main thought. And I think that we will finish with this. When it comes to jiu-jitsu competition, when it comes to anything, but especially when it comes to jiu-jitsu competition, you never, ever know when it's the last time you're going to get to do a jiu-jitsu competition. And it's such a fun thing to do. It's such a cool thing to do with your team and your friends. But like one day it ends. And I think it was a few episodes ago where you quoted the Moneyball quote where the scout tells Billy Bean's parents, like, there comes a day where everybody has to quit playing the game and your son can make it to the next level. And the truth is, we're all going to have to quit playing the game. And so it's so important to enjoy it every time. Just like anything else, jiu-jitsu competition can become a job and become something you have to do, even though it is something you get to do. And so make sure that each time you cut your weight, each time you do your warm-up, each time you feel that anxiety, each time you lose a match, that you are thankful for it, because it really, it could be the last time that you get to do it. And it can have nothing to do with injury. It could have nothing to do with anything like that. You just don't know how life is going to change and it's going to tweak. And I know for sure that there are a lot of guys that I've trained with and competed with over the years that don't get to do jiu-jitsu anymore for whatever reason, and view us going around the country and competing as like maybe the best time of their life. And so the thing about the best time of your life that really sucks is you really can't realize you're in it until you start comparing it to all the other times of your life, right? And so you can't really realize you're in it until it's over. And so many people I see that I used to train with, just like, man, I remember when we used to do that. It was so cool. And yeah, that can be a big thing on being more consistent or something like that. But that's not how I'm thinking of it. It's more like, dude, you just don't know. Some people, like, there could be situations that take even me away from jiu-jitsu. There have been guys that have trained longer than I have that have had to step away or, you know. I mean, I live in Granite City, bro. I could die at any moment. And so, yeah, you just don't know. And so make sure you enjoy it. Make sure you treat every jiu-jitsu competition like it's your last. I hope this one helps you guys. I hope this one preps some guys to get some competition in. I hope there are nerves while some of you guys listened to this episode because you're so prepping for your tournament. And I really appreciate you guys sharing that moment with me and being willing to trust me enough. I promise you the stuff that I told you is stuff that I have worked on and tried to perfect for a very long time. And it's all I know. I really didn't keep anything from you. And so hopefully this does help you. And if it does, the only thing I ask is if you win a good, you perform well, you know, you don't even have to win, but if you perform well, that you send me a picture and a review that I can give about this episode or the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show in general. That's all I ask. And besides that, like if you ever used all these ideas to get to compete against me, that you let me win. And besides that, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope this one is helpful for you. Hope you have good luck in your next tournament. Hope you stay healthy. And I hope that today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.